Chapter 35, Joseph and His Brothers. From Genesis chapter 42, verses 2 and 3. And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live, and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. God, in His wisdom, uses the natural world, creatures, and events to illustrate spiritual truths and make known His saving grace and redemptive work in Christ Jesus. Henry Mahan wrote, The wonders which God performs in the heart can be seen in the wonders God performs on earth and records in His Word. The smitten rock, the brazen serpent, and Jonah in the whale's belly are all examples of this fact. Joseph's dealings with his brothers in Genesis 42-45 present a type of the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ deals with His erring brothers, who were given to Him by God the Father before the world began, and who were redeemed by His own precious blood at Calvary. I cannot fully expound this type of Christ in these chapters. If you read the history of Joseph 20 times, each time you read it, you will see the type more clearly and fully. Then, when you read it again, you will still find some fresh parallels between the son of Rachel and the son of Mary, who is God over all and blessed forever. The story of Joseph and his brothers beautifully portrays the experience of sinners awakened by the grace of God as they come to Christ and have Him revealed to them and in them in saving mercy. Famine. God sent a very great famine. It was the work of God. This famine was not only in the land of Egypt, but in all the lands, even in Canaan, where the chosen family dwelt. Certainly, there is a sense in which this famine is a picture of the sin and spiritual death which is spread over all Adam's race, even over those who are chosen by God for salvation. God's elect are born into this world in the same state as all other men, fallen, depraved, and under the curse of the law. It is written in Romans 5, verse 12, Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians 2, 3. Before God saved us, we were like all other people, without Christ, having no hope and without God. Ephesians 2:12. This is the condition of all men by nature, lost, alienated from God, without life and without hope. But this famine cannot be said to be the work of God. It is the fruit of sin. The famine spoken of in this chapter was sent and caused by God to bring His chosen ones to Joseph. When God brings His elect to Christ, He does so by causing a famine in their souls. No man will ever come to Christ until he is made to see that, by reason of his own sin, he is altogether void of life. Then, hungry and thirsty, fainting and drawing near to death, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Joseph's brothers came to him because God sent famine upon them. Had there been no famine, they would have not come. And so no sinner will ever come to Christ, the bread of life, until God the Holy Spirit sends a famine in his soul and makes him hungry for that living bread. Good news. When the famine came, when they were perishing, they heard some good news. Jacob called his sons together and said, Boys, we don't have to die. I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. This is the good news of the gospel, preached to hungry, weary, dying sinners. We do not have to continue in our famine. Poor, hungry, dying sinners do not have to perish. There is life, mercy, and grace abundant in Christ. The Son of God calls thirsty sinners to come to Him and drink. He fills the hungry soul with good things. He, who is the Savior of the world, says to hungry souls, "I am the bread of life." Jacob could not be sure that the rumor he heard about corn in Egypt was true, but we are sure that Christ is the bread and the water of life because we have the sure word of God. Jacob did not know that Joseph was on the throne in Egypt. He very likely had doubts about whether the ruler in Egypt would let him have the corn he so desperately needed. But we are sure that all who come to Christ for mercy and grace will obtain the grace they need. We have God's word for it. Our Heavenly Father has given all things to Christ, our Savior, and Christ is the friend of sinners. He loved us and gave Himself for us. He possesses all things in order that He might save His people. Jacob could not be sure that he could get enough food for his whole family. There were 70 of them in total. But we are assured that God's grace is abundantly sufficient in Christ to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by Him. A command. An urgent command was given. Jacob said to his sons, "Do not hesitate. Do not stand here looking at one another. There is corn in Egypt. Go down there and buy food that we may live and not die." The command of the gospel is urgent. It calls for immediate response. If you are without Christ, you must not delay. Today is the day of salvation. You are a sinner without life, without hope before God. If you remain where you are, you will perish forever. There is life in Christ, who has been made by God all that sinners need. Come to Christ. Flee to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you are lost forever. Down to Egypt. Hearing the urgent command of their father and knowing their desperate need, Joseph's brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. Chapters 42 through 44 are very instructive. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Even though Joseph knew what he would do for them before he revealed himself to them, his brothers had to learn some things. As I set the primary events of these chapters before you, you will see that Joseph's dealings with his brothers are a picture of our Lord's gracious dealings with us in saving grace. First, Joseph's brothers tried to pay for what they received from him. The word buy occurs 5 times in the first 10 verses of this chapter. These poor men had no thought of securing corn except by paying for it. How foolish! What could they give to Joseph? Yet all men, by nature, when first awakened to a sense of need, foolishly imagine that they can earn God's approval, win His favor, and merit His acceptance. When Naaman came to Elisha for healing, he brought gifts to pay for mercy. When the prodigal first came to himself, he thought he would ask his father to make him a hired servant. The rich young ruler thought he could do something to obtain eternal life. The Philippian jailer thought he had to do something to be saved. By nature, all men presume that they can and should do something to cause God to favor them, just as Joseph's brothers thought they could and should offer some payment for the corn Joseph possessed. Second, these men knew they were perishing, yet they clung to their own righteousness before Joseph, who knew them. They said, "We are true men." When Joseph spoke roughly to them, they resented it and defended themselves. It is ever the nature of fallen man to justify himself. Third, Joseph put his brothers into prison for 3 days. This is exactly what they deserved. Joseph had no intention of destroying them. He put them in their proper place, the place of shame and condemnation, so that they would know their guilt and acknowledge their sin. He abased them because he was determined to exalt them. So it is with our Savior. He always abases before he exalts. He shuts us up before he sets us free. He slays before he makes alive. As we have seen before, he will never save a sinner until he gets him lost and makes him know that he needs saving. Fourth, when they were shut up under the law, Joseph's brothers began to remember their sin. The terrors of hell are the terrors of an awakened conscience without repentance. The first terrors of a soul under conviction are the terrors of an awakened guilty conscience. This is the law's purpose. It identifies sin and condemns the sinner, shutting us up to Christ. Fifth, when they began to know and acknowledge their guilt and their desperate need, Joseph began to show his brothers that deliverance is by grace alone. The bread of life cannot be purchased. It must be accepted as a free gift, if it is received at all. Sixth, Joseph's brothers found a brief satisfaction and reprieve. They got their corn and went home. They enjoyed a time of peace, but Joseph was still unknown. This is what religion gives sinners, peace without Christ. But God will not allow his people to rest until they rest upon Christ. Seventh, Joseph's brothers soon had their superficial peace shattered. Their hearts failed them, and they were filled with fear. When they had eaten their corn, the famine was still there. This was all by Joseph's wise arrangement. What wisdom and grace! So it is with Christ our Savior. He so arranges all the affairs of chosen sinners that they are both compelled and fully willing to come to him at the appointed hour. Eighth, Joseph's brothers still retained their legal spirit. They doubled their efforts to please Joseph. How little they knew him! He prepared a feast for them. He said, "These men shall dine with me." He provided everything. Is not this the word of the gospel? Come, for all things are now ready. Christ is the provider. We only receive. And ninth, Joseph graciously forced his brothers to take their proper place before him and confess their sins to God. There could be no fellowship between him and his brothers until they fully confessed their sin and guilt, and he graciously forced them to do it. He arranged everything to secure his purpose. He sent his steward to bring them to him, just as our Lord sends his Spirit to call chosen, redeemed sinners in the time of love. His brothers came, fearful, broken, helpless, and bowed before him. Standing is over. These once proud, boasting men now bow in terror before Joseph. Speaking for the rest, Judah acknowledged that God had found out their iniquity, and they sought mercy. When his brothers confessed their sin and sought mercy, bowing before his feet, Joseph could not restrain himself. We read in chapter 45, verses 1 to 3, Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. What a touching scene this is. It was Joseph who made himself known to his brothers. He cleared the room. The Lord Jesus always gets the chosen sinner alone with himself before he is about to make himself known. He spoke personally to his brothers. No priests, personal workers, or mediators were used. When Christ makes himself known to chosen sinners, he does so by his Spirit, through the word of his grace, without the witchcraft of religious inventions. There is a wealth of instruction in the way Joseph made himself known to his brothers. In everything he did, he was a type of Christ. If you did not know better, you would think he had already read the New Testament and was deliberately acting as a type of Christ. The fact is, though he knew it not, that is exactly the case. God raised him up specifically to portray redemption and grace to sinners in Christ. First, he declared his name, "I am Joseph." Then he invited them to come near to him and declared his relationship to them, "I am Joseph, your brother." At last, he comforted them. Look at the way he comforted them. He assured them of forgiveness. He explained what God had done. He told them of the provision he had made for them. He promised them all the fullness of his grace. He said, "You will always be near me. I shall sustain you and nourish you. No evil shall befall you. You have my word for it." Then Joseph kissed his brothers. His kiss was the assurance of his love, his forgiveness, and of complete reconciliation. The fame of this was heard throughout all of Pharaoh's house. The day will soon come when the fame of God's goodness and grace to chosen sinners will forever reverberate throughout all creation. Joseph, who represents our Savior, was pleased. His brothers, who represent all saved sinners, were pleased. Pharaoh, who, at least in the picture given here, represents God the Father, was pleased. This thing even pleased all the servants of Pharaoh's palace, just as the salvation of God's elect and the glory of Christ revealed in saving them pleases the Spirit of God, all the servants of God, all the heavenly angels, every faithful gospel preacher, and all the affairs of providence. Then Joseph sent his brothers on an urgent mission to bring all the chosen family to him. The mission was simple. His brothers were to go and tell all the family that Joseph was alive, that he was Lord over all, that everything they needed was in his hands, and that he bade them all come to him. That is exactly the mission our Lord has given us. As he sent them out on their mission, knowing the depravity of their hearts, Joseph gave his brothers one word of admonition. He said, "See that ye fall not out by the way." It's a sad fact, but a fact nonetheless, that saved sinners, sent as we are to carry the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ to other sinners, still need this admonition. Joseph's brothers were faithful to their commission. Let us ever be faithful to ours. They did not invent a message of their own or alter the message Joseph gave them. They just told others what Joseph told them and did for them. Good preaching and good witnessing are simply telling sinners what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and taught you by his grace. Has God owned and honored their message for the salvation of all Israel, he will own and honor the gospel today, and by it all Israel, that is to say, all God's elect, will be saved.